Good afternoon. You're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Crumry. Last month was officially Juneau's snowiest January on record, breaking the previous record from 2009. Meteorologist Edward Liske with the National Weather Service said the city recorded a total of 76.8 inches of snow.
It's been quite a month, and that snow total for this January was also the second highest snowfall for any month on record.
That record was set when more than 85 inches of snow fell in February 1965. And Juneau's accomplishment was unique compared to the rest of Southeast Alaska. Snow totals here dwarfed accumulations in nearby communities like Haines, Skagway, and Gustavus. Liske says a cold snap in early January set the stage. Then two moist storm fronts from the south hovered over Juneau, creating consecutive winter storms, dumping more than 30 inches of snow each.
Both of those storms had that scenario stick around for a good 3 days. Pretty much that was probably 90% of the snow that we got for the month.
The snow disrupted travel all month long. It triggered a series of avalanches across town. At least one roof collapsed and numerous boats sank under its weight. The snowfall may seem unusual given that 2024 is an El Nino year. The natural climate phenomenon is usually characterized by wetter, warmer weather, leading to more rain.
It's not a hard and fast rule. So we have had other El Nino years where, or El Nino winters, where we've just been buried with snow.
Since it stayed cold in Juneau this January, much of that extra precipitation came down as snow. A brief bout of warmer temperatures and rain last week melted most of Juneau's snow cover, but only for a brief moment. This week, another shorter storm blanketed the city in more than 13 inches of snow that fell in less than 24 hours. And there's sure to be even more soon. The National Weather Service has issued a winter weather advisory effective Tuesday morning, with the potential for another 4 inches of fresh powder. And Jeffrey Faltz, a former Juneau chiropractor who allegedly assaulted more than a dozen women under the guise of medical care, appeared in person in court last month for the first time since 2021. But at the latest hearing, nearly 3 years after Faltz was charged, his new attorney said that he knew very little about the case, and he did not expect to be ready for trial anytime soon. Several of Faltz's accusers appeared in court or called into the hearing. The women said the long delays mean Faltz, who is 61, continues to live in comfort, out of custody and out of state, while they had to testify in over 20 hearings. One, who is using the initials CEL, spoke to KTOO last week.
The amount of determination and resiliency and strength to continue to show up. You have a lot more of it in the beginning, but 3 years later, that is hard to continue to have the motivation for justice.
She said that each court appearance has been taxing for her and the other accusers.
And I could tell you every single time that it was on the calendar and the weeks in anticipation and every time that I would see it and what my body would go through, 48 hours, 24 hours, 6 hours, 3 hours, 2 hours, right in advance leading up to, and wondering if I'm going to speak and do I have to prepare and is he going to speak and what's going to, all of those things and how that impacts the day.
By phone, another accuser described the long delays as, quote, just another iteration of the ability of Faltz to gain the trust and comfort of people in professional positions, unquote. Police arrested Faltz in 2021 based on accusations that he had assaulted three patients while he was a chiropractor for Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium, or SEARCH. More women have come forward since. He now faces 18 felony sexual assault charges and one misdemeanor harassment charge. He's been living in Colorado with some monitoring by law enforcement since posting bail in 2021. The next readiness hearing is scheduled for March. Alaska school districts are facing unprecedented challenges in hiring and turnover, school administrators told lawmakers on Monday. Lisa Parody leads the Alaska Council of School Administrators.
We are in such dire straits in terms of recruitment that we are in a position of needing to hire many foreign teachers. I have an example of one district that has 87 foreign teachers.
The comments came during a two-hour presentation before the House and Senate Education Committees, featuring school and district officials from across Alaska. Parody says the struggle in hiring has led some districts to turn outside the U.S. to fill teaching positions.
We are struggling in the worst crisis Alaska has ever seen in terms of turnover. We can't recruit teachers. fundamentally, that's very important to high-quality instruction.
Alaska received 89 teachers through the J-1 program in 2022 and more than 100 in 2021. But J-1 teachers can only stay in the U.S. for 3 to 5 years, and district officials told lawmakers teacher turnover often results in lower student performance. Parity and her fellow administrators say part of the solution to the teacher shortage is more funding. Parity says increases in salaries and benefits would make the state a more competitive destination in an increasingly tight market for teachers and school staff. Though Alaska teachers once enjoyed a significant premium over wages in the lower 48, the gap has narrowed significantly in recent years. Senator Jesse Bjorkman, a Nitsiki Republican, says districts need to do more to underline what might happen in real-world terms if lawmakers fail to boost per-student funding.
It's important that each district put on the record what's at stake for education opportunities for kids. Those are the questions that we're looking for answers for, is we need to know what we're investing in and what outcomes are going to be available for kids through those invested dollars.
Governor Mike Dunleavy, a Republican, did not include an increase in the base student allocation in his proposed budget and has threatened to veto a standalone bill that would raise it. He has instead pushed lawmakers to pass a packet of education reforms. And a Harvard study on charter schools has been driving conversations at the state capitol about ways to improve Alaska schools. The study ranks charter schools in Alaska as the best in the nation. Governor Mike Dunleavy has cited it repeatedly and called on lawmakers to expand the charter school system. Alaska Public Media's Eric Stone sat down with one of the city's authors to learn more.
For Paul Peterson, director of Harvard University's Program on Education Policy and Governance, the results were unexpected.
I have to say, I am surprised that Alaska came in number one.
For several reasons. First of all, Alaska's traditional neighborhood schools rank near the bottom in national comparisons, and the finding doesn't really fit in with some of the other top-ranked states. Peterson says other high-ranking states like Massachusetts, New York, and Colorado tend to have highly educated populations clustered around universities and colleges.
The odd state out, really, is Alaska.
Why does Alaska perform so well? Well, Peterson says it's hard to say, and it's not the focus of the study.
You'd have to do a sort of a case study of every state, and that's what's beyond our resources.
He and co-author Dana Shakil set out to produce the first state-by-state ranking of charter schools in the U.S. using a test given to a representative sample of 4th and 8th graders in every state, the National Assessment of Educational Progress. And while they can't say exactly why Alaska's charter schools outperform those of other states, their data does indicate that the benefits of charter schools are widespread in Alaska. When just looking at charter school students on free and reduced-price lunch, Alaska's still near the top, number 3 to be precise.
I found that sort of interesting, that this was not sort of like, this is just a bunch of rich kids who are doing well. This is what we're seeing for kids pretty much across the board.
And there's some data suggesting that non-white students perform especially well in Alaska's charter schools. The data is limited. There was only enough data to isolate white students, not other ethnic groups in Alaska. But among white students, Alaska came in 3rd.
So what's pulling Alaska up to the top level seems to be the performance of the non-white students.
Another key finding of the paper is that it matters who authorizes a charter school, basically who allows a charter school to be created, whether it's a school district, a university, or a state agency. And that's been a topic of discussion at the Capitol. The leading House education bill would allow the Alaska Board of Education to directly authorize charter schools. As it stands, the state board has to wait for an application from a local school district or an appeal of a charter denied at the district level. But the study has some important limitations. First of all, it's based on data collected between 2009 and 2018. And Peterson says things might have changed since the data was collected.
A lot has happened in the last 5 years. Call it COVID. I call it closing schools. It's just a lot of things that have happened. So whether or not we would get the same ranking for charter schools in Alaska today is an open question.
And he says it's also possible that there are differences between Alaska's students and those in other states that might make it difficult to compare the two. There's also the possibility that given Alaska's low population and relatively small number of charter schools, the test may not have captured a sample that represents the whole state. Whatever the implications, lawmakers will have a chance to dig deeper into the study soon. Peterson is due to testify before the House Education Committee on February 7th. With additional reporting by Tim Rocky in Anchorage, in Juneau, I'm Eric Stone.
And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's currently 36 degrees and cloudy. Tonight, there's a 30% chance of snow showers and fog with a low of 29 degrees. Tomorrow, there's again a slight chance of snow showers in the morning, and then it turns into clouds. You're listening to KTOO.